But I do want to start with a story that is a really important story. This past week, we saw one of the most significant legal rulings against a major tech company in a long, long time. A federal court in Washington ruled that Google illegally monopolized online research and advertising. What does this mean? And why is it so important? What's it going to mean for us when we go to our search engines going forward? And with us to talk about it is Bonnie Stone. She is a partner with the well-respected law firm of Katten, Muchin & Rosenman. For over 40 years, Bonnie has litigated on a national basis major cases involving financial institutions, corporations, on all kinds of issues like securities, employment, and antitrust matters. She's tough, experienced, and she always gets fabulous results. Really, truly one of the best litigators in the country, and I'm happy to call her my friend. Hi, Bonnie. Thank you for joining us.
Well, Karen, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I want to go on record to say I think you're fun.
Oh, I'm fun. Oh, just because I don't like the Erin Waters show, I'm still fun.
You're still fun. No question about it. And yes, my dog shakes too.
I know.
Does it work?
I feel bad for all those animals. My cats are okay, but I'm, of course, a childless cat lady. So what am I going to say? That's a whole other topic of conversation. So let's talk about this lawsuit. First of all, who brought the lawsuit in the first place?
The lawsuit was brought by the Department of Justice, the U.S. Department of Justice, joined by 38 attorney generals from the various states. So effectively, the DOJ plus 38 states. That's who brought the suit.
And tell us, what is the interest in the attorney general and the attorneys general in the various states? What is their interest in suing Google, saying that it's a monopoly?
It's the same interest that basically the feds have, I would say, which is that the end goal of the antitrust laws, at least as they were formulated, was to protect consumers. The theory being that competition protects consumers by assuring that no one entity can control pricing, consumers pay less with a more robust competitive marketplace, and competitors also spur innovation, which again benefits consumers. So that would be the predicate for why the attorney generals from the various states, as well as the DOJ, has the interest in trying to enhance competition, which is why monopolization is considered a violation of the antitrust laws.
Now, the judge, from what I can see, came out and very bluntly said that as to this issue of online research and advertising, Google is a monopolist. And, you know, the fact is that Google search is used by 82% of all people or even more in some studies that I've seen, and by 95% of all people on their phones. So the idea is this dominance in the marketplace. What if the dominance is really just because Google is the best search engine, not because it did anything to make that happen? How does the court analyze those facts?
All right. So I think it's fair to say, and you're correct. I mean, Google is used by basically everybody I know, to the point where it's become a verb. You know, when you say I'm going to look up something, I'm going to go Google it. So it's certainly, and the judge even acknowledges, it is a superior search engine. It was a natural monopoly. And what I mean by that is it became dominant because it was innovative. It was the best. It had basically what we'll call first mover advantage. It was first out there. And it had, you know, sort of economies of scale to handle large quantities of data and information, which most entities do not. The problem was really not from the judge's perspective that it was a monopoly in terms of how it became one. It's how it maintained its monopoly position. So there's a difference. One can become a monopoly fairly, but one can maintain the monopoly position unfairly. And that's where the judge came out. The judge said that they engaged in what he called predatory practices by using what he called time contracts to illegally maintain its position.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that on the other side. We have to take a break. I want to break that down a little bit to talk about what exactly Google was doing to maintain that dominance in the marketplace. We're talking to Bonnie Stone. She's a partner with Katten, Muchin & Rosenman, and we'll be back in a minute on WGN. Welcome back. We're here talking to Chicago attorney Bonnie Stone. She is a partner at Katten Muchin and Rosenman. And we're talking about the Google ruling, saying that Google is a monopoly. I want to get into this a little bit. We left off talking about this, and I was talking about how Google is just dominant in the market. And Bonnie, you said that it was not so much that it became dominant in the market, but because they did things to keep that dominance. Let's just say they didn't do things that were illegal. Could a tech company have this kind of massive dominance and not be a monopoly, or does there have to be something more than dominance?
Yeah, you can have what I said. There can be natural monopolies. I mean, things that just simply organically occur naturally without doing anything other than being the best, the brightest, first mover. There are natural monopolies. That's just, and you could have this domination naturally without having taken any kind of steps to maintain it that the court would find illegal. And yeah, you could absolutely have this power. It's not automatically illegal to have monopoly power. In this instance, it was simply the way they maintained it, not the fact of it per se.
Got it. And I suppose it draws everyone's attention to the fact that they're dominant, and maybe they scrutinize it a little bit more. But can you reiterate a little bit about what Google was doing, according to this judge, that stepped over the line and violated the antitrust laws?
Right. So the terminology is a tying contract or a tying arrangement, which has historically has had antitrust implications for years. But the bottom line was that Google had contracts with Apple and Samsung to be the default and automatic search engine on browsers like Apple's Safari and Mozilla's Firefox to handle search queries on their smartphones, devices, and web browsers. And the evidence was that they paid, $26 plus billion in 2021 for the privilege of being the automatic search engine.
Wow.
And that, yeah, it's not chump change.
Right.
By anybody's stretch of the imagination, it's not a nothing burger. And the judge's belief was that those contracts unfairly maintained Google's search engine monopoly, since effectively, I think there was some, you know, psychology evidence at trial that people, human behavior, we don't necessarily, well, you may have an option to change search engines. People typically don't. And it's just human behavioral patterns. And the government argued, I think, obviously successfully, that if people would have gone to Google anyways naturally as a default, why pay billions and billions to cement that position? And that's the big one. That's pretty much where he found where the rubber met the road, and that was more than a football.
So, you know, and this is an opinion question, you know, and you probably have handled cases on both sides of this issue and thought about it. But do antitrust laws impede competition in some ways and discourage businesses from being innovative? You know, like if you are out in front as a corporation and you're doing something that nobody has done because either you have trade secrets or a patent or just a good product or good customer service or what have you, why shouldn't you be able to monopolize? And I know you did say that a natural monopoly is okay, but do you think these laws kind of put a damper on that innovation?
I think that, I think two things. I think the first thing that with technology and how fast it's moving, I think that the technologically complex environment we live in, which certainly predates the antitrust laws by like forever, that the theories are being tested. You know, there's a perceived increasing tension and needed balance between domination, you know, innovation, information, and regulation. I would think everyone would agree with that. But to answer, you know, the question more specifically, one could look at the last big antitrust case that came down, which was the one against Microsoft, which is 20-plus years ago, where Microsoft was found to have violated the antitrust laws. I won't bore you with how long it took to wind its way through appeal, but that's 20-plus years ago. And they were found to have monopolized the market illegally. But look where we've gone in 20 years with technology and competition. That kind of answers your question. I mean, has it reduced competition or innovation at all in the last 20 years? One would say we're in a technological revolution. So I would answer the question that way.
And if you can talk a little bit about, and this is an economist kind of question, but What is the harm to consumers specifically of having a monopoly like this in Google?
Right. So there's a hypothetical harm right now because there's not any actual, known shown that any consumer has suffered. The evidence that I think at the trial showed that Google has the ability, unchecked, to, because it does dominate the search engine, to increase the cost of ads. And the advertisers are happy to pay. It doesn't seem that there's much blowback by the advertisers. But what happens is that presumptively, although you can't identify it exactly right now, the cost that the advertisers pay passed down to the consumer in some fashion. And the consumers may not know they're paying more for a product simply because the ads got price cut jacked up, which in turn got jacked up by Google. So that can be a harm to the consumer. The other harm, one argues, is that competition fosters innovation, that people strive to do better when they have competitors nipping at their heels. If nobody's there, who do we need to better? And so that would be the two arguments, that consumers do better when competitors are innovating. And some people have already been complaining, that some of the Google, searches are not as good as they used to be. And AI is now coming in anyway. So there is a thought that, without competition, Google may not be inspired to do better. Those would be the two points.
Very interesting. And I got a texter here from the 815 area code saying Apple stated that they would not consider other search engines because the other competitors are not as good, in essence. And if that was part of the trial, and I'm not sure that it was, how would that weigh in the judge's mind? Do you think the judge just ignored that?
No, I think the fact is it's hard to ignore paying, $1 billion for something, let alone $20 billion a year. And obviously, Google thought it was getting something for that $20 billion a year that it was paying to Apple. So while Apple may say they wouldn't consider it, they may have, depending on what the remedy phase is, the judge may order, it's one of the possibilities, that Google can't pay Apple any longer for making it the default search engine. And then Apple can do as it chooses. Just not getting the 20 million for it, or 20, not million,
right.
20 billion for it. Oops, I forgot a couple zeros there. So, yes, God, that was a lot of zeros. But that is, I think, it's hard to square from the judge's perspective, I think. Why would you pay something if you're getting nothing for it?
Exactly. And so now let's talk about what happens next. Let's first talk about ultimately what could Google be on the line for monetarily, sanctions, attorney's fees, treble damages. How does this get calculated? And then we can talk about the appeals process.
Well, this is not a lawsuit brought by a private individual. It is by the DOJ. There's a lot of different avenues this could go. I think it is not a likely avenue that the court is going to dismantle Google. So everyone, nobody panic. Google's going to be there for a very long time on your phones. And it's, that is an unlikely remedy. Is it possible that the court could order Google to spin off the ad and search engine so they don't maintain their monopoly in some fashion? It could. Seems unlikely. Fines are possible. I can't even begin to calculate what that could look like, given the size of Google and what would be a meaningful fine, right? I think that, Wall Street, at least, which has been watching the case closely, not so much of concern, but just that it would cause consumer confusion of what this all means, is predicting anyways that a likely result would be a dismantling the contracts. In other words, telling Google you don't pay Apple and you don't pay Samsung any longer for the default positions, or ordering that the other options are presented as well in some fashion. Those are kind of structural changes and behavioral changes both.
And we have 1 minute left. And Bonnie, tell us what happens on appeal. Where does this go? Will it end up at the Supreme Court level? What do you think?
It's definitely going on appeal. There's no question to the D.C. Circuit. Whether or not the Supremes take it or not is to be determined. What I think is most true, and I can be absolutely certain about this, it's going to take years.
And in the meantime,
years.
And in the meantime, will this dismantling or disengaging of the contracts happen as well, or will everything be on hold?
Everything will be on hold. It's not going to have to implement it. The only way it's going to implement it is if between now and whenever there's a consent decree agreement, in other words, settlement occurs, which can happen. But at this point in time, nothing in the foreseeable future is going to be occurring.
Bonnie Stone, thank you so much for joining us. Bonnie is a partner at Katten Muech & Rosenman. Why don't you just give out your number quickly in case anybody would like to contact you?
Certain. 847-971-3833. And everyone enjoy the day. It is a beautiful day in Chicago.
It sure is. Bonnie, thank you so much. You take care of yourself.